If you was here last week, you probably got the intro anyways into a season of change. And what we said was is that we're going to be a changed people. And I think it's important for us to remember this, especially if you was at the altar of repentance last Sunday. Okay, it's important that we remember this. We've changed, we're not the same, and we're never going to be the same again. And how we came in, we don't have to go out and be the same today as we was yesterday. Can you say amen? Amen. So today we're looking for change, and today I'm going to pick up again this week in the series, part two. And this is called, it's a season of change, and this is the kind of where we're going to go. What's it say? Let there be light. So today what we're going to talk about is allowing some light to be shown into our darkness. So what I guess to give you the overarching intro into it is this. Remember, we all battle with some sort of darkness. It could be things that we say, well, it's not that big a deal. Yes, you know, I have a problem with this and I have a problem with that. But there's something that's inherently wrong with us as human beings. Okay, when we begin to see others suffer or hurt or in pain, and something in us says, well, they deserve it. Or I'm glad they got it and I didn't. Or those things just happen to pop up. Even though if it's for a fleeting moment, the truth is, it shows that there's something wrong with us as flesh. Amen? So we begin to understand that we have a war that's before us, and the war is real. Okay, so this morning as I jump into Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, this is where we was at last week. And what it says that, I want to just pull something different from it. We're talking about the seasons of change, but as we read verse 14 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, then God said, let there be light. Okay, and we begin to look at this light and what he's saying here. And it's important that we remember this, and we'll come back through this throughout the rest of the message. But then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens and divide the day of the night, and let them be the signs and seasons for the days and years. Now, there's the seasons part as well. So we're going to look at those two elements. If we're in a different season, and if God really wants to change something in us and take us to another season, he's had us in a season for a reason, and we agreed on that last week. And this time, we've got to begin to understand that he wants us to see the light. So it's important for us to begin to understand that no matter where we're at, God is going to help us and work with us and through this to get us where he wants us to be. Last week, we talked about the seasons of our life, and the title of the message last week, Change is Coming. Amen? And we need change, so whether we want it or not, whether we're ready or not, something is about to break in some people's lives, and we absolutely seen that last week. God is about to take you out of the season that you've been in, the season that you've been stalled in, the season that you didn't think you'd ever come out of. He's about to take you to a brand new season. Now, for many of us here, and maybe all of us, actually, we are ready for the change. We talked about that last week, and we all are really set, and we got our sights set on change. One thing that we need to understand about God is that he is God alone. He is God himself. He is God. Amen? Amen. So I know we think that he needs our help, but he really don't. Okay? Because he's still God. Everybody say he's God. But in Genesis here, we find him creating, and at each creative day, we see him praising himself. And as he was praising himself, he would end it with this, and it was good. And it was good. Okay, so he knows what he's doing. And he was the creator, so I think we all understand it. But at the end of the sixth day, okay, as we begin to look at this sixth day, there's something here for you and I that we need to make sure we look at. At the end of the sixth day, the creative day in which he created mankind, we find him, and he was says something just a little bit different, amen? And what he said was, it was very good, amen? So when he made us, he says it was very good. Everything else, it was good. But when he made man, it says here that it was very good. Have you caught that? That's in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1. So all of a sudden, we begin to understand that there's something very good, very inherently good about you. Amen. So what happens is the enemy would like for you to think there's nothing good about you. Amen. He'd like to tell you you'll never make it, you're worthless, you'll never amount to nothing. You know all the lies that the enemy's told you, right? But the truth is, that's what the enemy's job is, and he's going to do his job whether we do ours or not. So it's important for us to remember that as we launch into this part of it. But in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 27, I want to talk about that creation again some more. And you know, if you've never studied Genesis, man, you need to study it. So I know a lot of people say when you get saved, oh, study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, study them Gospels, or read the book of James, it'll correct you. But I say read the book of Genesis, amen. That's what I say anyway. But so listen to this. It says in verse 27, it says, so God created, didn't he? It says, so God created, it says, God, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, and male and female, he created them. So the word we're talking about is created. We begin to understand that he is the creator. We begin to understand who he says he is. See there, before there was the first day, there was God. Before the first star, moon, planet, sun, there was God. God had been and all and always will be. He is God all by himself, and there is none like him. He is all sufficient. He doesn't need anyone's help is what I want to get across this morning, amen, because he alone is God, amen? Okay, now sometimes we get this out of context, and what happens is we're dwelling in darkness, and we can't get to the light because we think that he is not the creator, but I want to tie it to the creator lives and has residence inside of you, amen? And one thing that we know about him is that he is absolutely the creator, amen. We all agree with that, amen, says we agree, so amen, we agree, and we know that he is the creator. Matter of fact, he is the creator, not a creator, he is the creator. And the psalmist wrote it this way in Psalms 90 and 2. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Amen. You are God. Before there was the first moment or the first second, as far back as you can go, there was God. Amen. As far forward as you can go, and even beyond all eternity, he still is God, and he is still the creator. Amen. Everybody say the creator.
Creator.
Amen. He is the creator. The Bible starts, the Bible starts out with these words. In the beginning, this is in Genesis chapter 1. What does it say? In the beginning, God created. Now, what I like about this, Genesis chapter 1, I told you to get into Genesis chapter 1 because what happens is we got to begin to understand creationism and evolution. See, the problem is today in our city schools, what's being taught is evolution. Amen? So all you got to do is you got to come to the place of understanding this. If you want to dispel evolution, all you got to take is take the scientists and take the evolutionists and the ones that teach that craziness, take them to the very first book of the Bible, the first five words. Amen? In the beginning, God created, amen? So now we begin to understand that. So what they like to do, they say, well, they had to be millions and millions of years. Well, there was. God was in charge, amen? Hallelujah, all right? So don't get it confused, all right? Let me keep going here. Excuse me again. Okay, it says, as far as you can see and far beyond, he is still God. And the Bible says God created, not in the beginning of God's existence, because one of the things that I think that we get confused is God is eternal. Okay, God is eternal, but in the beginning of time, as we know it, in the beginning of creation of what we can know and what we can measure to some degree, but not the beginning of God, okay, because there was no beginning of God. He always has been, always will be, and forever will be. Do you believe that? See, the problem is a lot of times we confuse that, and we begin to think that in the beginning, okay, it started right here, but God always is, always was, and always will be. Hallelujah. Everything that happened in creation came out of him. The stars, the atmosphere, this tickle in my throat, all right? The stars, the atmosphere, the stuff that would allow life to exist on this planet, the sun to shine, the moon to shine, and the night force, the fish, the fowls of the air, the creeping things, the crawling things that we don't like. Amen. The fruit trees, the herbs, the forests, the grassy fields, all of this came from him. Creation came out of him, okay? So it just came oozing out of him. And what he did is he began to speak it into existence, didn't he? So we begin to understand and begin to wrap our minds around Genesis, the first chapter, and begin to really understand what's being said. He couldn't help himself with some of what he was creating, amen? He just couldn't help it. He was God, amen. He was doing some incredible things, and so amazing that to do this, he still amazes creation today, doesn't he? We stand in awe of the many, many things that he did create, things so incredible and so amazing that to this day, we are still amazed at the things that he created, and even today, we still look back and say, how in the world did God ever do that? Amen. The scientists. We love the scientists, don't we? Most of them are just pre-Christians, okay? So that's what it is. When they start studying the Word of God, when they start trying to prove that evolution is right and creation is not, what happens is they get saved. Listen to Darwin and some of the things that they've shared and begin to see how God moves in all those situations. But the scientists, they spend their whole career looking at one little thing, don't they? They focus on it, focus on it, focus on it, and they can't seem to get where they're supposed to. And the truth is, They just get to understand one little piece, but they can't figure out everything that he created for all eternity. Things so small that it takes a marvelous microscope to look at it, and we begin to look at it. Things so big that we stand in awe of it and begin to wonder, how did God ever create this? Things like the Grand Canyon is an example he created. But, you know, when you begin to look at evolution, what they begin to share is this. Isn't it amazing that this was just happening and it got just, boom, it blew up and there it was? That's craziness, isn't it? It's craziness, but God had to create this. But listen, the first things first. I'm cracking my voice up here this morning. So what's going on my voice this morning? But the first thing that God tells us about himself in his word is that he is the creator. Everybody say creator. So as we begin to understand that he alone is the creator, we need to understand that he doesn't need anything to work with. He doesn't need anything to work with. He doesn't need anyone's help. He can make it happen all by himself. I'll take one of those. We can say a lot of things about him to describe him. And the first thing is that we need to understand about him is that he alone is the creator. If I say creator, we need to get this in our spirit. It's important that we remember that he is the creator alone. If God is a creator and you are created in his likeness and in his image, okay, now we believe that, right, because the word says so. If we're created in his likeness and his image, okay, everybody say, I am. Don't forget this. Don't miss this part. Guess what? That means that you are very creative. So a lot of times you think, well, I'm not very creative. I can't do this and I can't do that. I want you to change the way you talk because that's what we talked about last week. Start changing the things you say. Start speaking things as though they are. But understand something with me here this morning. Somewhere along the line, the creative part that he put in us and placed in our DNA at creation, it must go to work. It must go to work. The problem that we have so often is that God will implant something in you. He'll put his stamp on you, his fingerprints on us. He'll create something inside of us. And then what we do a lot of times is we begin to allow it to go to the wayside. We allow the enemy to say, God really didn't intend that for me. God really doesn't want me to do that, does he? And what we do is we allow the enemy to begin to lie to us, and we begin to speak things as they're supposed to be as though they're not. We begin to say, God surely wouldn't use me. He surely didn't mean me. He surely didn't want me to do that. God doesn't just give us things that we need to create something from what he's gave us dominion over. Okay, he already knows what he's done. He's given us dominion over it. Are you understanding really, truly what I'm trying to tell you this morning? It's going to be on the board. If our God is the creator, listen to this, and we are made in his likeness, then at certain times of our lives, in a certain season, there needs to come something out of us. Amen? Everybody say, oh, it's going to be one of them church services. Amen? Yes, it's going to be one of those church services. And the enemy really don't want me to preach this today. Amen. Pray for me while I preach. Amen. So when you pray, what we got to do is we got to change the way we pray. Now, we're 2/3 away through a 21-day fast. But it comes down to this. It's time for us to pray specifically. Amen. So what we've been praying for, we've been praying. And Shanna said just a minute ago, she said, we want the presence of a living God. Amen. We don't want the counterfeit. We don't want the hoopla. What we want is the presence of a living God, and we believe that. Tell him he's exactly what you need, but when it shows up, don't expect it to be what you wanted, but what he wanted, amen? That's what we got to remember. It may show up in a raw form, and what he does is so you can pull it all together out of your circumstances and your situation. No matter where you're at, how messed up it might seem, through your circumstances and your situations, all of a sudden you'll pull it together, and you begin to say, oh, God, that's what you was trying to teach me. God, that's what you was trying to show me. Let me give you one. Anybody here need patience? Just a couple of us, right? All right, just a couple, maybe three or four of us, and probably the rest of us are really on the edge or border of lying, amen? Patience is something that's difficult, isn't it? The truth is it's really difficult. Some people have it, some people don't. And when you see someone with true patience, they are amazing people, aren't they? They really are. But listen to this. I want to share this with you. God, give me patience. As someone might say, God will not just give you a peace of mind to be able to put up with people like me, all right, when things are going wrong in your life. Patience comes only one way. I want you to hear this now, by living through and surviving some really super hard times. That's what patience comes from. So when you begin to pray, God, give me patience, Begin to expect something from the adversary, okay? The enemy's still going to do his job. If you are praying for that patience, you should be watching for God to bring some adversity into your life. To be able to get that patience worked through you, what happens is adversity comes, and that's where patience will come out of. Now, listen, some of us are praying. Anybody praying for financial blessings? All right, a few of us. Okay, now, as we're praying for financial blessings, well, let me tell you the first thing as I got here, I want to read this to you. It will not. Everybody say it will not. It will not show up in the lottery, okay? It won't show up at no blackjack table, and it's not going to show up on no hot streak no matter what you're doing is wrong, okay? What God is expecting this out of us, if you want to be blessed financially, is he's looking for some faithfulness to him. He's looking for us to be faithful with our tithes, with our offerings, in our service, with our money that we're to give back to him. It's going to show up in that form somehow, and he expects us, above all, to be faithful if you're looking for a financial blessing. When others would waste it all on self-promotion or to help themselves, we're supposed to be able to be faithful and help build and advance the kingdom. It's going to show up in the form that requires something of you and I. Amen? So everybody say, I want financially blessed. Okay, the first thing I want you to do is get your checkbook out and begin to write a check. You ready? Just kidding. But the truth is this, God doesn't need your money. I want you to hear me loud and clear. That's the reason you don't hear us preach about money up here. God needs your faithfulness. Amen? He doesn't need your money. What he needs is your faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's important that we don't get those confused. And I lost my spot here. All right. When others, let me just go ahead and skip to this next part here. Something else I got here that I wasn't going to share, but I'm going to share it anyway, is that so often when I started ministry, one of the things I do is people say, I'm hungry. And I tell them, go get a job, man. I got to work. I come out here to talk to you. All right? And they said, yeah, but I'm hungry. And I said, well, get a job. I said, the Bible says, a man don't work, man don't eat. That's what it says. Right? Everybody lose about half of you, didn't I? Amen, because the truth, that is what the Bible says, but what he wants us to do is he wants us to begin to do this in love, amen. So what happened was, I say, look, I got a sandwich for you. I want to feed you, but I'm going to feed you the Word of God first, amen. And so what I did is I held the sandwich for ransom, okay, that's the way I did it, all right. So then all of a sudden what I began to do is I began to see people get saved, because what I really understood was they necessarily didn't need the sandwich, but they needed the message, amen. So it's important for us to remember that. It's going to show up some way that we're not expecting, and I just was telling them, get a job. Okay, I wasn't trying to be mean. That wasn't my intentions. That's just what the Bible said. I read that part, all right? You don't work, you don't eat. But then what I knew was this, is that what they really needed, they needed to work, okay, but they needed someone that would love them and pray with them. I'm saying that sometimes we pray for things and we expect things to be one way when God is giving us the things that we need in our lives. God's given us the things we need. He doesn't give us a job out of our dreams. What he does, he gives us little insignificant jobs, and we learn how to be faithful in them insignificant jobs until he can come to the place where he can promote us in that job, amen? So how many of us has accepted that job before, and it wasn't the job we wanted? Well, today, I'm vice president of a company that I took, and I was telling God, there's no way I'm taking that job. All right, I know I've got a business portfolio. I know who I am. I know what I'm going to do, and I know where I'm going, and I'm not going there. But God began to speak to me in that little insignificant job, and he began to promote himself. Today, I'm able to look back, and I'm able to stand back, and I'm beginning to say, okay, God, remember, it's not how you wanted to show up. Oh, God, that's what you was talking about. Yeah, they was having a little bit of problem, and all I had to do is bring a little bit of God up in there. And what happened was is that together, as we begin to work, we begin to see God save a company, restore a company, turn a company around, and God did all the work, and we was able to reap the benefits of it, amen? So then we stand back today, and today not only is the business still used to promote Christ, but the truth of it is this. You frankly wouldn't be sitting here today if I wouldn't have accepted that meaningless job that I thought it was. But so what God did is he had the big intentions. God took something that seemed absolutely nothing to me, and through the circumstances, through the things that was going on, he began to extract from me the DNA that he wanted to make this church today. Do you believe that? Isn't it incredible? So then what God does is God begins to do something different. What he begins to do next is he begins to take and break my heart for inner city Springfield. I begin to say, God, I'm okay with being out in Northridge. I don't need to go in Springfield. I drive around, as a matter of fact, God, okay? And God began to say, that's not what I saved you for. You hearing me this morning? So all of a sudden, we begin to look at what God was doing, what God was creating, how God was saving, how God was redeeming, how God was restoring, how God was aligning things. Amen? It says in the beginning that God created, and then all of a sudden, God begins to give us an abandoned church that you're sitting in today. $400,000 later, without any congregation, God restored it, God rebuilt it, God redid it, God placed you here. And see, what all of a sudden we begin to know and understand is in the beginning, God created. God began to take his light, and he began to show on some darkness. And today, we are all sitting here as byproducts of God's light. Everybody say, I'm his light. I am his light. See, you are creative is what I want you to drive home. I want to drive home who you are, what you're capable of should not be defined by people that's around you, the neighborhood that you was raised in, the environment of your home when you was raised up. That is not going to define who you are. Amen. So what we end up doing is we always say, well, you know, my dad did this or my mom did that. Hey, let it go. It's gone. Because the word you said, it was done. Amen. Let it go. Because what God is expecting out of you, he created something in you, stamped you with his DNA. He created you for greatness. And it's time for us to begin to understand that that cannot no longer define who we are. Who you are, what you are, and what you will become is entirely and completely up to you. Who, what, and when you go is completely up to you. I lived my life for a long time beginning to think that it was everything was somebody else's fault. I began to think I'll never amount to anything because my dad said so. I'll never go anywhere in life because my father told me so. I'll never make it because divorce told me so. I can go on and on with the things that the world told me. But what happened and what defined me when I was stamped with the DNA of Jesus Christ inside of me called the Holy Spirit, I began to understand what God was telling me and you today is I want to take in that darkness that the world has created inside of the creation that I made, which is you, and I want to shine a big honking light called let the light shine on you, which is the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. So all of a sudden, what happens is he brings us back to life when we begin to give our life to Christ. Amen. Immediately, he begins to shine on us. When we've been duped into allowing people to tell us that we are victims and victims of our circumstances. I'm so sick of hearing that. Oh, it's too bad you was born in the hood. It's too bad, Will, that you're black. It's too bad that I'm fat, overweight, white. It's too bad that whatever. Listen, the truth is this. You are a child of the Most High. We are one blood, amen. How anybody can be racist is beyond me, because if you're racist, black, white, or Hispanic against anybody, let me tell you what you ain't saved, amen. Because let me tell you something, when the DNA of Jesus Christ, amen, because when the DNA of Jesus Christ is stamped on side and inside of you, you begin to understand it doesn't matter how they cut you, you believe Jesus Christ. Amen. We are one. Amen. We are one. Everybody say, I'm one. But we've been duped into that victim circumstances. Amen. Someone needs to know what I'm telling you this morning. And Paul wrote it the best in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and 37. All right? I don't hear no pages turning. You guys must have your phones, okay? I can't hear them clicking. In Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 35, who shall separate us? Who? Okay? Listen, who? This is the first time that you get to be in to pop your chest out here this morning. You say, that's right. If God's before me, who in this world could be against me? It doesn't matter where I came from, what I went through, where I've been at. Circumstances ain't going to dictate to me who I'm going to be, because stronger is he that's in me than he that is in this old, rotten, nasty, decaying, dying world. But it says here in Paul's writing, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Then it says, just like when Jesus was tempted, for it is written. Amen. For it is written, it says, and as it says this, listen to it. It says, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet, this is good, isn't it? Because then all of a sudden we begin to see purpose in what God, what's happening. This is the year of restoration for my church. And what God is doing is he's stamping your destiny. He is repurposing you. He is telling you, look, quit looking back, start looking forward. It's time for us to tell them and tell those who think it's okay to be manipulated by the system. Listen, the system wants to play us. Amen. Everybody wants to think that's how you're supposed to be. Listen, God created you as for greatness, and you need that in your DNA today. But all of a sudden, we begin to look at this, and it says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Everybody say, I'm more than a conqueror. And what I'm trying to tell you, it's a season, amen. It's another season. It's time for a season of change. It's time. Are you ready for a season of change? It's time for a season to change. It's time for something to break loose inside of you, okay? And it says, I'm not staying where I was. I'm not going back there anymore. I begin to listen. Ray Charles's daughter is. Sheila Ray Charles. I begin to listen to her, and I begin to listen to what she had to say. And she probably moved me more than any preacher I ever heard. But what she began to tell me was, I came to a place, a season where I need a change, and thus is where it came, season of change. You can thank Sheila Ray Charles for this. That's how it came. But she said this. She said, brother, I was laying on the crack house floor with my head in a dirty, disgusting toilet, being sexually abused after man, trying to get my next high. And she said, I have no idea why I was doing this to myself. And she said, the next weekend, she said, I would be with all the Jacksons and we'd be somebody. And she said, the next week, I'd be with this group and we'd be somebody. And she said, then I was back into the toilet. I was back into the scum of the earth. And she said, all of a sudden, I began to wonder what in the world is wrong with me. She said, 4 federal prison numbers. She said, OD'd countless times. She said, I've been shipwrecked, breached, broke, busted, and disgusted in every way that you could think of. She said, my daddy had all the money, but I had all of the addiction. She said, all of that, I thought I had it going on. She said, but all of a sudden, she said, I knew I needed a change. She said, I was on my 4th federal number, and inside that prison, here comes a little church like you, walking inside the prison, that same woman, they were saying, she said to her, she says, you just coming here because they're paying you to come, honey. And she said, I'm coming because God anointed me. God stamped me with my DNA. God told me I'm a light into a dark world. God told me to go, and here I am. She said, then I accepted Jesus Christ for the first time in my life. She said, it was time for me to wake up. It was time for me not to germinate any of the evil no more. It's time for me to have the creative part of me begin to stand up. This is not how it's going to remain inside of me. Something has got to change. And she said, today, God, I need a change. She said, 48 hours later, I woke up on that prison cell floor. She said, God, wipe me out, check me out, change me. And I was a new woman. And then she has some good quotes after that. She has some really good quotes. By that time, she walks out into the auditorium, walks all the way back into the middle, and there's where I'm at. She says, and you know what I'm talking about, brother? You give me a high five. And I said, man, I was crying, man. I was saturated because I said, that's what I need. I need more change. So I say all that to say this. Are you ready for some change? See, if it takes us being at the bottom of a barrel, we need change. If we're just not on fire, we need change, amen? We don't have to worry about anybody sitting around you. If they're lukewarm, get them out of your way. And what happens is the people that's around you, the people that's in your family, what happens is when you begin to set a blaze, all of a sudden you can begin to see everybody on you going to catch on fire. Do you believe that? See, it's time for us to say no more. Everybody say no more. No more on our watch. Something has got to change. It looks like a season of hopelessness, despair, and want, but there's a season of change that God wants me to walk into today, and I believe today that we are going to walk forward and not backwards. It doesn't have to stay the way it is. It doesn't matter what anybody else has said, what everybody else is telling you. What God is beginning to speak into you today is a DNA stamp for change that he knows who he created. He made no mistakes, and he wants you to go forward and not backwards. Are you excited about that? I'm going to begin to walk not only in the promises of God, but I'm going to also begin to walk in the will of God so I can begin to see the miracles of God. What I'm going to begin to do is in the seasons that have changed in my life, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to begin to take the next step. And I'm going to go ahead, I did it yesterday, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get the snowblower ready because it is winter, amen. And I went ahead yesterday and I did put the mower away. So I know now that there's a season of change, and no matter what this season is in winter, I'm ready to stand up and I'm ready to blow snow, amen. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. I'm going to go right where God has ordained me to go. Do you believe that today? We do things differently during different seasons of our lives, and it's time to put the mower away and get out the snowblower. You believe it? So no matter where you're at in this season of life today, it's important for you to understand this. God has got something for you personally. Something personally for you to learn. Understand this with me. If you are wanting to move out of the season that you are currently in, anybody? Come on now, just a couple of us. If you're sick and tired, look, I'm sick and tired of being lukewarm. Okay, you say, that guy ain't lukewarm. I used to be on fire. I used to be so on fire that people were running to hide from me. Amen. I'd be on the door, and I'd look in the crack of the door. I'd say, I see you in there. I'm still going to tell you through Jesus, through the glass, I don't care because your life depends on it. See, we need to have an urgency because we're not promised tomorrow. We're a church of evangelism. We believe in evangelism. We've got to come to the place where we begin to understand that God wants to do something with you personally. Everybody say personally. Personally. God, in this season, God wants to take you to new heights, but we've got to put him first. He's got to be first in what we do. We talked about this last week, doing the wrong thing in the wrong season. That creates a lot of confusion in our lives and in our ministries. So what happens is, what ministry did God call you to? Okay, he didn't call you to 15 of them or 10 of them. He called you to a ministry. He called you to do something, and the enemy begins to lie to you. What am I not doing in my present season that I need to start doing? What am I not doing in my present season that I need to start doing? How do I prepare myself for the season of change that God wants to take me into? Wow. One of the things that we've been praying for on this fast is this. We're praying for God. We know that there was a division on our platform in music years ago. And we watched some of our musicians go away and different things. But we made a decision, Molly and I did, is this. This platform is going to be holy. There's an anointing up here, and we're not going to let just anybody up here. We're going to begin to line people up, and we're going to begin to praise, and we're going to begin to experience the presence of a living God. Do you believe it? Yeah. Amen. That's why you experience the presence of God, because things are right up here. So what happens is we begin to fast and pray and say, God, you know our needs, and you know what we'd like to have, but God, your will be done. So all of a sudden, people saying, man, I want a praise and worship team. Man, I want to help. I want to be part of that. Man, look, listen, look, I want. And all of a sudden, Molly's got to step back and say, okay, we've got to do this right. There's a right way. And so now all of a sudden, you begin to see the birth. There's a birth of something taking place. Do you believe that? Yes. See, what happens is God has stamped her DNA with praise and worship. Now, when you talk to her, she'll tell you, I've never been discouraged. It's always been great. I've never had any problems at praise and worship. Now, I'm not like a pastor. I never have no problem. Everything is smooth sailing, right? No? Oh, wow. Well, I guess I was wrong on that part. But the truth is this. It doesn't matter what ministry God's called you in. If you're not facing adversity, you are not in the right spot. Amen? So begin to embrace that adversity. What is it that needs to happen for me? What needs to happen for you so that I can sustain the good thing that God wants to bring into my life? What needs to change in us so we can have that good thing come to us? What changes need to happen in my life? What should I stop focusing on or start focusing on? What should I stop praying for or start praying for? How should I stop acting or start acting? What is it that needs to change in me? How? Listen, I'm telling you, there has to be a change in us. Do you believe it? Yes. Amen. So often we'll say, I don't do anything anymore. I got it going on. Well, there's the first problem. All right, that's the very first one. The reason we are stuck in our situations and limited by our circumstances. Did you catch that? Listen. The reason we are stuck, everybody say stuck. The reason we are stuck in our situations and limited, everybody say limited. Limited by our circumstances. You're stuck in your situation, limited by your circumstances. What happens is we begin to understand, man, I've been stuck and limited. But we have a God that stamped us with the DNA of the Holy Spirit. And he is not. Everybody say he's not. He is not a God of lack. Amen? See, he is not a God of lack. And so something needs to change. That we are somehow, well, I think this is the problem I keep seeing anyway. That we're stuck in the situations, the circumstances, is often because we have allowed other people to convince us that we are bound to our conditions. We are bound to our conditions. So you're a drug addict, you're always going to be a drug addict. You was this, you're always going to be that. You're this, and you're this, and you're this. Listen, it's time for you to understand what God's Word says. It doesn't matter that you're a mistaker. It doesn't matter that you've been knocked down. What it matters is if you stand up. It don't matter how many times you fail. It don't matter how many times you fall. It's how many times you stand back up. Can you say amen? We somehow come to a place of thinking we're victims, and all of our lives are gone because we're victims. And listen, when you become a victim, what happens? There's victim, and if you look at a victim, it looks like that, it looks like that, and it means you're a venom spewer. When you become a victim and have a venom mentality, you become a venom spewer. So no matter where you go, what you say, you're always spewing venom, amen? So everybody say, I don't want to be a victim. We do not want to be a victim, amen? What we forget is that we have the same creative DNA in us that God has, and we are made in his image, amen? So we know that there's something for us. That means we have within us the ability to recognize when it is time for a season of change. We have the ability inside of us to recognize when it's time for a season of change. Now, where did I get that at? Well, here's where I got it at, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. But listen to this first. All of a sudden, God's knocking on your heart and telling you, don't date that guy. Don't date that girl. Don't take that drug. Don't make that financial disaster again. Don't watch that show. Don't go there. Don't look at that. Don't think that. As God begins to tell us that, everybody says, okay, now I know what you're talking about. Now I know what you're talking about. We have the ability within us to begin to recognize when it's time for a season of change, when we know that it's wrong and we don't want to go the same way no more. Amen? In Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering, and I got it captioned here, Spirit of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be darkness. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what it says. Okay, my bad. Well, and there was light. It says, let there be light, and there was light. Light on our darkness is what he was saying right here. He began to say, look, what we're going to do is we're going to think everything's dark and everything's without form and I'm not in charge. And all the way back it says, in the beginning God created. But all of a sudden I'm going to begin to think that the devil created. God's a myth. God just got made. God this, God that. But listen, it says, in the beginning God created. Then it goes on to verse 2 and 3. And what he began to speak was this. He began to speak life into death. He began to speak this, that there's light into your darkness. And see, when we begin to get this, it's time for change. So it's time for us to begin to understand one thing, that when God begins to shine his lightness on our darkness, what happens is darkness must and can and will and shall flee. So what happens is God wants that to go away. So what happens, all that negative is sitting on our shoulders, knock it off. It's got to go away. Oh, God, I'm going to prison. God, I'm going back to my addiction. God, I'm this. God, I'm that. No, you're not. You're created in the express image of Jesus Christ. He made no mistakes. He loves you. He stamped you with his DNA. He is stronger as he that is in you than he that is in all the world. Go ahead and give him some praise this morning. Amen. He wants to stamp his light on our darkness. In closing, listen to this. The reason you must begin to reposition the way that you think and the way that you function is because many times we are stuck. Everybody say stuck? We get stuck between the lines of our limited thinking. Amen. We get stuck in stinking thinking. That's what happens to us. All of a sudden, we begin to say, I can't, I won't, I never will. And when you begin to say that stuff, what happens is the enemy begins to play his trump card. He begins to set up on you, and he begins to tell you, see, I told you, you ain't no good. God don't love you. You ain't strong enough, stronger than he that is in you. I don't think so. You need to begin to look at that devil and say, it is written. It is written, let there be light. Now you go to hell where you came from. You begin to tell those things that's created. The enemy is for hell, not for us. Hell was not created for us, amen? Do you believe that? Yes, it's time for us to begin to take authority over the enemy. You need to get out of there and say, let there be light. It's time for someone to get out of the void that you've been in. It's time for someone to tell the darkness. It's time for my dark to turn to light today. The season I was in is not the season I am in right now. Things are about to change. God is doing a new thing in my life, and there's going to be light. So what Miss Charles said down there was this. She came to me and she started telling me about, telling all of us, but it seemed like nobody was being moved. And I was telling my wife, I said, look at this. All pastors, the whole room, the whole auditorium was full. And we looked at them and I said, they're yawning and they're dozing off. And I said, man, she's bringing it with fire and brimstone. She's talking about being knocked down and counted out. But she began to talk about how God stood her back up. She says, I don't care what everybody else says. I know that there's a living God, amen. I heard about that old dude, but I finally met him. And see, what happens is when he begins to rise up inside of you, there will be light on our darkness. Do you believe it? Amen. As the praise and worship team comes back up and you guys stand up, I want you to begin to let the light shine. Speak to the darkness that you have. Listen, don't say that you don't have a dark quarter in your spiritual life. We all have it. It can be complacency, laziness, slothfulness, disregard for what Christ has called you to do. Many things can be in there. Begin to speak to your darkness in the name of Jesus. Let there be light on my darkness. God is bringing me out of the season that had its purpose and place in my life. Now, I want you to hear that. Okay, it had a place and it had a purpose. So the places that I've been that's tore me down and tore me up, just like you have, they had a purpose and they had a place in my life. Never, ever would you convince me 20 years ago when I was at that place. Never 30 years ago when I was at that place. You know, I remember, I think Brock's 31 years old or something like that. But I remember alcoholism, and I remember my wife was pregnant with Brock, and he was in the womb. But I remember that hot August night when I hit that semi in the back end. I remember being pronounced dead twice. I remember having an outer body experience. I remember telling God that I didn't believe in, if you'll give me just one more time, and he did, amen. I remember those times when I started to lie to God again and again, but what I really needed was I needed his light because I was lost in complete and utter darkness. What I needed was a move of the Holy Ghost. What I needed was God's presence. What I needed was a real God. And what I found was the counterfeit. But then through all the trials and through all the swinging doors back and forth and over and over and over again, I began to finally learn when I accepted Christ, I was able to speak to that darkness. Now I can look back 30 years ago and I can begin to say, oh God, you intended that for good. You stamped that on my DNA and you showed me what the enemy caused to be fear. You caused that to be a testimony. What the enemy intended for bad, God, you will get glory out of. You don't have to accept the situation as it is no longer. I'm not going to stay there no more. Do you agree with me? We don't have to stay there no more. God gave you a part of himself and creativity, and you can come today and you can turn it loose. Turn it loose in your faith, prayer life, working of your minds, and your understanding, and who you are, and where you are, and where your life is headed. Speak into your situation and begin to say, let there be light. Let there be light. I don't know what situations of your life that's in a mess right now, but the truth is you do. But if you will get this message into your heart and understand that you have authority and power over the situation, every spirit of the enemy is going to be running from you. Every spirit that's tried to drag you down and count you out, you'll begin to declare some things and change is coming to you. And it's a season of change for you if you begin to allow it to have light. We got to begin to pray to allow God to shine his light on our darkness. As they begin to sing, we're going to give you a chance just to come up and let his light rise and shine inside of you. It's time to let the light shine. It's time to put the darkness away. It's time. The altar's open. Come as you see fit.